Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game here on the Football Reporters Online Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. I, of course, am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and to my left, Chris Rankin. Like always, we don't have Weasel this week. He's actually tending to a friend who's not feeling very well, friend of his family, he and his wife. Best wishes to her and to them as well as they take a trip to visit her. But filling the gap here on the phone, we have the special agent of sports himself, Chris Rizzo, former forum member of the Student of the Game himself. Chris, what's going on? Or excuse me, I should say, that's going to be confusing. Rizzo, how's it going, man?
It's going pretty good, man. It's going pretty good. How about yourself?
Absolutely. You know, and I'll tell you, when it came to teams that are going to look to have this much trouble, of course, we are talking about the teams of the NFL West. When we talk about this many teams that were going to struggle, well, I should say AFC teams that were going to struggle, but I'll count the Rams and Cardinals too. But the teams that had so much struggle last year, who they draft in that first round is going to be ultra important. And of course, Rizzo will be up to snuff making that happen. But first, I would be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about this Revis trade. Now, Rizzo, I know you're a Dolphins fan, and I it's not like that the Jets were ever going to really compete. I know that the Dolphins lost a close game to them last year, just in normal divisional play. But Revis leaving the division, that's kind of a big deal, don't you think?
That's a huge deal. I mean, he's pretty much the only thing that kept their defense relevant in the past few years. With him gone, obviously the Jets are clearly in rebuilding mode. They're not going to be competitive for the division, let alone they're probably going to be finishing last this year, I would just expect. It's going to make it a little bit easier for teams, obviously like the Patriots all the way through, and maybe even like the Dolphins to get a chance to get a couple extra wins that might not have happened on their schedule, have a better record, and even contend for a wild card.
Absolutely. Well, hey, they're going to contend for one thing, it sounds like, for that number one pick spot next year. What do you say, Chris Rankin?
Yeah, of course they're going to, you know, rebuilding. They weren't really going to be a competitor this year anyway. They weren't a competitor last year. You get rid of Revis out of the division that you have to cover, you know, guys that Tom Brady's throwing against, and then also now with Mike Wallace down in Miami.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's...
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting point. I like how you brought up the Wallace thing, too. Is like, they were going to have enough trouble. Okay, well, maybe we can put Wallace on him. They got Brandon Gibson in the offseason is going to be a good number two, I think. They still got Devon Bess, who's a solid contributor as well. Well, now they can't even find someone to cover Wallace, so that should actually be a game. But, hey, in the AFC East, the physics always get weird. But something I wanted to touch on, Darrell Revis, number one in cap hit in 2013 amongst quarters with his $16 million number, number eight overall in the NFL. I'm going to ask the silly question, guys. Is that worth it?
I don't know. It's always a big gamble when you got someone coming off a major surgery like he just did. So I don't know. I wouldn't do it, but apparently the Bucs had one of the worst pass defenses in the league last year, and they're desperate to upgrade this offseason, hence why they picked up was Goldson from San Francisco.
Absolutely.
And now Revis from the Jets. They thought he was better than anybody that get in the first round at that point, so they're putting all their chips in.
I think you got it right on the head. A team who would take a risk on them is a team that gave up 510 yards against your Giants, Chris. I mean, you have to agree with Rizzo's point in light of the fact that you saw what happened in that game.
Yeah, their secondary is pretty bad. They're just, instead of trying to take a chance on a guy coming from college, pick him up, you know, see who's there in 13th pick, but, you know, go with Revis, who's assured himself in the season, in the league in the last 5 years.
Well, let's put it this way. I'd say a Revis at 80% is better than a ton of guys in this league at 100%. I think that's the math that the Bucs have in mind. You know, it's kind of scary how Adrian Peterson's return now makes that injury to any cruciate ligament in the knee seem like an easy thing to recover from, and that just ain't the case. But speaking of things that aren't easy to recover from, how about the mediocrity of the AFC West in 2013? Rizzo, I'm going to say this statement again because I don't think you've heard me say it yet. But when it comes to the AFC West in 2013, it's appropriate that the Broncos have a horse head on their helmet because the rest of the AFC West is the other end of the horse. That's all I'm trying to say. You agree with that statement, Rizzo?
I agree. I mean, it's pretty much like watching the AFC East. It's like you got the Patriots and you got everybody else. And the AFC West, you got the Broncos and then there's everyone else.
Hmm.
It doesn't really matter. The Broncos have already won it.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. And it's interesting that you cite the Patriots, who also have a head on their helmet. And I guess that makes right now the division is the other end. Interesting. Interesting indeed. I wasn't going to do that to your Dolphins, but that's okay. I mean, at least.
I'm a realist. I've come to the realization. As long as Tom Brady is there, it's probably how it's going to be for the next few years.
Of course, we'll have, you know, it's too bad Weasel's not here. He'd have some questions to answer about his Vikings being like, you know, a helmet as a logo that's the top of something, and yet they were pretty close to, well, they made the playoffs, but they aren't the top of their division. Anyways, we digress. Let's go ahead and lead off with the Broncos, since they are the head of the horse that is the AFC West. You know, we got the Parchers there to speak of. Look, we got Doomerville and that whole clerical error mess. So they're down that defensive end. They're down Tracy Porter at corner. He's aging, though. I mean, I can see why that move happened. And then, of course, at linebacker, DJ Williams. Again, something I'm not shocked to see because they do have Von Miller running that linebacker core. But I kind of feel like that Von Miller is more of a threat to attack the quarterback than anything else. And I don't know. As far as what they lost, Chris, do you really think they're in any real trouble?
No, especially in the AFC West, they're not in trouble at all. You know, they picked up Welker, you know, give Peyton a little better target to hit down the field. You know, Wes Welker, it's going to be a different slot position with the Broncos than he is with the Patriots.
Right.
Because you got to, with Peyton, he kind of made that slot position the last 10 years or whatever. You know, with the Brandon Stokely down the field and everything like that, it's a different style than what the Patriots do. Patriots use the slot receiver to run outs and slants and everything like that.
Well, you're talking about Stokely in the past. That's a 14-year player he was contributing for the Broncos on a regular basis with, you know, being that slot guy. And I think the thing that will make – see, people – Welker's numbers are going to go down. I'm calling that here. He's not going to get 100 catches. He may get 80 or 70 and still have a really good year. But considering that this team does not run in ace form where there's only one, maybe two receivers on the field at a time, Welker's just not going to get the same looks. Now, if he happens to get open that much more often, considering he's facing easier foes, I mean, look, in 2013, the Dolphins' corners were pretty solid. I liked Sean Smith. They did lose Davis, but, you know, I don't know.
I could see them adjusting their scheme a little bit to get him on the field more just because, I mean, traditionally in the past, Peyton Manning has done very well with three wide receiver sets.
That's true.
He was with the Colts.
That's true. That's so true.
And maybe they didn't run it last year a whole lot because they didn't have the personnel for it. But now that they do it, I could see them doing it a little more often, especially with a talent like Wes Welker. And if you're going to, you know, spend that money to go get him, why not utilize him as much as you can?
So you're calling less Joel Dreesen and less Jacob Tammy on the field, huh?
Yeah, I would think so, yes. Because you're going to need that blocking tight end. And let's just face it, Jacob Tammy is not the greatest blocker.
Yeah, no, I can definitely understand that. And then, of course, their other pickups, they got a little bit of beef in the form of Terrence Nitron, probably one of the most space-age names in the NFL. Nitron, you can't front on that. And, of course, they got Dominic Rodgers-Camardi on that defense as well. So he's obviously filling the void that Tracy Porter left. I don't think that's a bad move per se. And you got Nitron, who's a solid D-tackle, kind of opening up more space for Von Miller. I'm not really worried about that. But I think I'm still in that place where I'm going to say the same thing this year as I did last year. The Broncos need a safety. They are still not used to life after getting after getting John Lynch and then Brian Dawkins back to back at that safety spot. They haven't adjusted to not having a Pro Bowl caliber safety behind them. And I think that's how they got shredded. I mean, look, Joe the Fowl, that's F-O-W-L because of all the ducks he throws. Joe the Fowl Flacco throws this lofty turd of a duck of a ball in the air, and now the Ravens are champions instead of being stopped by the Broncos in the playoffs. I mean, I don't know. Do you have safety as their biggest need there, Chris, or what do you have?
Yeah.
I mean,
my fault. Rankin, my bad. Yeah. It's two Chris R's on this show. I got to get that right. Rankin, what do you got as their top need?
Yeah, I'd say, Yes, they need safety. Maybe a little more beef up in the middle, on the line, on the defensive line, and on the offensive line as well.
Yeah. I don't think their O-line
is that bad. I'd say maybe a defensive end on the another defensive end there.
Well, what number pick do they have there, Rankin?
They have number – where did it go?
It's going to be 20-something.
28.
28. So at the 28 spot, are there any safeties worthwhile at that point, at that spot, Rizzo?
I mean, there are. It depends on what you're looking for. There's two good safeties that probably you're going to go around the late 20s, early 30s, or they might still be there. Depends who you need, a free safety, strong safety. I mean, I don't see the Broncos drafting another free safety because Raheem Moore, their current safety, I believe he was either second-round pick last year or year before.
Right.
Their strong safety, in my opinion, is they're weaker, the two safety positions. And the best strong safety in the draft will probably go late first, early second. His name is, I think it's Jonathan Cyprian out of Florida Atlantic University.
Okay.
Or I think maybe FIU. But he's going to go late on the board. Honestly, I look at the Broncos, and I think wouldn't one of their biggest needs be pass rush to replace Dumervil?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been their leading sack guy now for 3-4 years of running.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I have that as the number two spot for me as well. I have safety and then DN, so it definitely made my list of three for sure. So, yeah.
I mean, there's a good chance Jonathan Cypern's strong safety from FIU might not be there at 28, and you might have to look. Then the value of safety drops off a lot. Once you get past the first 3-4 safeties, which three of them are free safeties, only one of them strong safeties, the value drops off huge, and then it's not worth it to go one in the first round at that spot.
Well, you could argue that's an improvement among safety talent in this particular draft, because after the first one or two, usually the drop off is, you know.
Well, the thing is, the number one safety in this draft, Kenny Vaccaro, he's not like a top 10 elite talent. He's not like your Earl Thomas, Eric Berry, or whatnot. He's, you know, in the middle of the road in that 10 to 20 range. And there are a couple of decent safeties who are, you know, late first, early second round picks, but then the drop off is huge. And like I said, it's mostly free safeties. So you don't get a lot of strong safeties you would ever draft this early in most drafts. Usually those are later round guys, second, thirds, and fourths. But Jonathan Typer from FIU is really impressed me from what I've seen.
Fair enough. Okay, so going from the Broncos, who, well, I mean, a lot of people are picking them for the Super Bowl already at this point. I don't know how I feel about that yet. Give me a little time. We do predictions in September on this show because, you know, draft. But let's go ahead and go over to San Diego, of course, the land of Philip the Fraud Rivers. The San Diego Chargers have already departed with three players on defense. Antoine Kayson, of course, at corner. Abreu Franklin at the defensive tackle spot. And of course, Takeo Spikes, he's definitely an age casualty to their defense. And, you know, off the bat, I see that makes their top need immediately defensive line, just as it is in my mind pretty much always. Because let's put it this way. Out in California, vegetarianism is popular, and that is no different because of the lack of beef on that defensive front. Rankin, what say you?
Yeah, they need defensive line. They got pretty shredded last year. Looking like their corners actually just everywhere in defense. Let's just rephrase that. it looks like they've lost quite a bit. The only real pickup I saw, they picked up Derek Cox from the Jags, which I don't know how much of a pickup that is. Other than that, yeah, everywhere on the defensive side of the ball, they need.
No shout outs to Danny Woodhead, their new running back. I mean,
now where would you say defense line more, end or tackle?
Tackle by far, just because you need that tackle spot first to stop the run, especially if you're going to see KC twice a year, you know.
And what kind of schemes do they run? Did they run a 3-4 or 4-3?
I know that they were trying
makes a big difference.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I've seen them trying to put in a 3-4, but I feel like they're trying to shade away from that, or at least they should.
Yeah, I don't know who they hired as their defense coordinator now that the offense coordinator from the Broncos, what was his name? Mike, can't remember who's the head coach now, the Chargers.
The head coach of the Chargers now. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because Norvell Turner finally got canned like he did. All I can think is Mike McCarthy, and that's not right. Mm-hmm. I'm totally blanking on this. But, well, let's put it this way. If you're going with that 3-4 spot, I mean, that's why they got Abreu Franklin in the first place. That could be why they parted with him, because I know he was a pretty solid contributor for the Niners back when he was playing for them. I think that was 2 seasons ago. So holding up that middle was certainly important to their scheme. They run a 3-4. But I don't know. For me, I felt like Abreu Franklin could do both. So parting with him really on defense, hey, I'm biased towards fat people. I get it. But that's kind of where I'm at. I don't know. So, yeah, for me, I feel like it's D-tackle. But if they're switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3, that's all the more they would need a new tackle, because their old ones are suited to that system. Right, Rizzo?
Yeah. And I mean, either way, if they're looking for a 3-4-4-3, there is one D-tackle who I think could play both D-tackle schemes. And there's a good, very true chance he could be there at 11. He's been slipping a little bit because of medical concerns. But all the medical tests come back, and they said he's 100% fine. Though he had a heart issue, I think, at the combine. Like, he has his name Star, and I'm not sure if I pronounced his last name right, Lotuelli. He's a D-tackle from Utah. The guy's massive. The guy's just a freak. And he's big enough and athletic enough to play both D-tackle spots in both schemes. And very good chance he could be there at number 11 for them. So, I mean, honestly, that would be the perfect pickup for them, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you got a guy that's like a Hiloti Nada or Vince Wilfork type that can do it either way, that's certainly superior.
I would
by
say
any stretch.
He's definitely closer to a Nada than a Vince Wilfork.
Fair enough.
I don't think they make him as big as Wilfork anymore. That should be illegal.
Right, because 396 is a rookie. Or no, I'm sorry, 392 is a rookie is entirely too small. You know.
Well, it's not just the size too. You see, like, when you saw him pick off, I think it was last year, he picked off a pass and took it like 60 yards. The guy moves for 396. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, his rookie year, what was it? He had two returns. I think one was an interception, one was a fumble. One was an interception, one a fumble. He took 90. One was 92 yards, one was 96 yards, something like that. Both times he got tackled right at the one. And yeah, it was ridiculous. Of course, the poor bastard needed oxygen for days after that. But that's a different topic.
Coach is Mike McCoy.
Mike McCoy. There
yeah.
we go. Okay.
Yeah, it's John Pagano, still the defensive coordinator for the Chargers.
And, you know, why he still has a job boggles my mind.
They threw it all on Norv Turner.
Yeah, as I say, his former head coach, probably the scapegoat on that particular instance. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, but no, but Star Latuelli has been probably the best bet to play D tackle in the 3-4. He could also probably play in the 4-3. He had the best D tackle in the draft, but he would probably be the best fit for the Chargers. Not sure what system they're going to run.
They're going to run if they stay like they did last year and a couple years past, it'll be a 3-4.
Okay.
Then he's probably the best fit for them.
And if you're transitioning, it's good to have a guy that can do both. I don't know that they are. Let me put it that way. But, you know, so
I don't think he's going to be available at 11, though.
Okay. Well, if they snag him, Rizzo, who else would you go after other than this specimen from Utah?
I mean, it depends. You have to look at value at that point. I mean, they have other needs too, besides defensive line. O-line is probably a big concern for them, protecting Phillip Rivers.
Sure.
They could definitely go for all the top three tackles would probably be off the board by then. They could probably draft a guard that high, but there are a couple of really good guards in this draft. I personally am anti-drafting guard that high. I just think guard is one of those positions you can get very good value late in the draft.
Sure.
Then at that point, you might want to look at getting it. You said they're defensive ends as well. Right. A guy like Mingo from LSU would be a good fit for them as well.
Yeah, that makes sense, absolutely. And of course,
I mean, they need some speed on the outside to get pressure on any quarterbacks they're going to be facing, especially when you got a guy like Peyton Manning you have to face twice a year in division, you need to get pressure on him, and a guy like Mingo will help you do it.
Yeah, well, not just that. I mean, and look, we laugh about it, but the other quarterbacks they're facing in there are mobile. So you got Alex Smith who can run the ball a little bit, and if they do come out with Terrell Pryor in Oakland, that's going to be a run first situation for the quarterback. You got to have a speedy DN to contain that. Absolutely. So I see where you're going.
And Mingo's one of those guys too that if they run in the 3-4, he'll be perfect in that the kind of outside linebacker pass rushing DN that can get after the quarterback, kind of like a Von Miller was. Von Miller was primarily a defensive end in college,
right,
but he plays that same kind of pass rushing linebacker role in the 3-4 for the Broncos. I think Mingo is very similar to that role.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and shift over to the Raiders. Now, I know the question here is what don't they need? I get that. But I'm going to ask a question up front. Chris, the Raiders pick at what spot?
They pick at, hold on, where to go? They pick at 3.
Okay.
3.
Yeah, yes. that was higher than I thought. My bad. Okay, so they have the 3rd pick. I'm going to make the statement that it ain't worth going after Geno Smith here, but they may need a quarterback so badly that they may not have a choice. You agree there, Rizzo?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. In my opinion, Geno Smith, and I have a bias against certain players. I don't think Geno Smith is a first-round quarterback at all, let alone a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
That would be like the hugest reach in the world. I don't think there's any quarterback in this draft worth a top 15 pick.
I made the same statement myself, for the record. So we are in agreement.
So, yeah, drafting at number 3 would be asinine. It's almost as bad as it would be worse than when the Vikings took Ponder 8 a couple years ago.
Mm, wow. So finally, some positive on Ponder being drafted when he was. And of course, any trash or smack talk that existed about drafting Ryan Tannehill at the spot he was last year is just right out. But I'll leave it at that.
I mean, yeah, but this quarterback draft is so bad. Any of those quarterbacks, Tannehill, I mean, obviously Luck and Griffin, but even Tannehill in this draft would be the number 1 overall pick. I mean, the quarterback talent in this draft is so far off level. And it makes sense, though, too, considering how good the quarterback draft class last year was. But you guys have a guy like a 3rd rounder like Russell Wilson being, a Pro Bowl quarterback. So you can't have that every year. It goes in waves, So, but no, this year's draft, I wouldn't touch Geno Smith anywhere near the 1st round. In fact, I would take, there's a couple quarterbacks I would probably take before Geno Smith in the 2nd round.
We'll get into that a little bit later. Chris, or Rizzo, Rankin, the guy in the studio with me, with the Raiders. Where do you start, dude?
I think it's easier to write down the list of who they have first before you can figure out who they need.
McFadden, next.
Yeah, but he's been injury prone the last 2 years too. So,
well, look, if you're having to carry that world like you're Atlas in black and silver, that's going to happen.
So I mean, they picked up. Rashard Jennings is running back to back him up since they did lose Mike Goodson.
Well, I mean, it's not like Rashard Jennings came in and did a good job filling in for a top 08 mojo. Right.
Yes.
My bad.
They lost their safety, Michael Huff.
Yes.
To the Ravens. The one guy that had probably the most consecutive guy on their team last year was their punter, Shane Leckler. He left to go to Houston.
Yeah, you know you're in trouble when your most consistent player is the punter. And he's like, oh, the hell it is.
So, yeah, where they'd start? They did pick up Matt Flynn, didn't they?
I don't have them as picking up Matt Flynn on my list, but that doesn't mean
he wasn't a free agent. It was a trade.
Right.
They picked up Matt Flynn.
I thought Flynn went to Buffalo.
No, I thought that was Kolb that went to Buffalo.
Yeah, Kolb went to Buffalo.
Yeah, you're right. Kolb went to Buffalo. That's my bad.
Yeah, Flynn went to Raiders when Carson Palmer went to.
Yeah, that's right. That's
the
right.
Cardinals.
That's right. So maybe they won't be starting Terrell Pryor. I don't know. Can Matt Flynn run? Anyway. So, no, but they have Matt Flynn on their list there, absolutely. You know, and the part that I can't handle is, you mentioned Huff already, Chris. They've also parted away with Brandon Myers, their tight end, who was their top receiver. They lost Rolando McClain, and then Darius Hayward-Bey, their fastest wide receiver. Of course, he was really kind of useless. I mean, I'll be honest. But
yeah, so they lost their top receiver, their top tight end, their middle linebacker, they had no choice with him, and who was also a top 10 pick for them a couple of years ago.
Rolando McClain, yes.
Yeah, they've lost a lot. They've got a lot of holes.
And then, of course, Mike Goodson.
They could just go with the best player available. whoever's the best player on their board, they could just take at that point.
Okay, then who you got for that at that number 3 spot?
Oh, man. Who do I think will be available for them? Probably... At that point, I mean, they could go defensive tackle. I really like Sharif Floyd from Florida. They could go outside linebacker Deion Jordan from Oregon. or they can go offensive linemen. Eric Fisher from Central Michigan, I really love. I actually like him as the best tackle in the draft, even though a lot of people think Luke Jokiel is better. Any of those three guys would be, I would think, their best bet.
I mean, you know, hey, look, you know I'm going to lead towards getting that O-line first, but, hey, I mean, they got to get – look, I don't care what it is. They got to get some kind of beef, period.
Yeah, and all three guys are pretty much, you know, beef. Offense tackle, defensive tackle, and defensive end. I mean, they need every single one of them. The thing is, I don't really know their roster that well. I don't know who they need more. I mean, I don't know how their offensive line was last year. I know their defense is usually pretty solid. They do have Richard Seymour. He's a very good defense lineman.
Right.
Defensive end. I don't know how their tackle position was.
It's not all that great, I can assure you that.
The thing is, here, at this point, what do they value? What do they need more? Offense tackle, defense tackle?
Well, keep in mind that that Doug Martin, who was a rookie last year at running back for the Bucks, racked up his 236 yard game against said Raider squad, so that should tell you something for their defensive tackle position. Just throwing that out there.
And Richard Seymour hasn't re-signed right now.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent, by the way.
So there you go.
So it'd be defense.
And they lost other spots. They lost linebackers. I mean, they lost Philip Wheeler.
Wheeler, yeah, he's in Miami. Right.
Yeah, they did pick up Kevin Burnett from the Dolphins.
So they traded linebackers, essentially?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah, but they definitely downgraded.
I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, goodness. I don't know. All I can recommend is all I can say is that the Black Hole, perfect name for the Raiders stadium right now.
What they need to do is just put up a bunch of names on a dartboard and throw a dart, and that's who they draft.
Anyways, so
it's not the worst idea, honestly, though. And because you said the run side of the game was pretty bad and their defense is getting old, I mean, I would go probably with Sharif Floyd out of Florida. He's a pretty good defensive lineman, pretty good beef. He'll help anchor a good defense lineman to build around and help anchor the defense for quite a few years.
That makes sense. I mean, and hey, look, this is a team that's going to have to try to play the Broncos more than once. Yeah, we'll see. All right, anyways.
Well, exactly. When you play in a division where you've got good quarterbacks and you need to get pressure on those quarterbacks, I mean, I know you don't like Phillip Rivers, but he's not the worst quarterback in the league. So you got Peyton Manning and Phillip Rivers you got to go up against. And then now Alex Smith for the Kansas City Chiefs. You need to have players who can get pressure on those guys.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, we're about ready to transition to the Chiefs. You know, I'll ask Rankin first. Alex Smith to KC, does it really matter?
Not really. I heard there might be one of those offensive tackles is their first pick. Mm-hmm. But I heard other ones say that their offensive line was pretty good last year, which, you know, Cassell didn't have much, but, you know, and whenever they did use Jamal Charles, he broke off lots of game. But
let's be clear. I have a lot of trouble referring to an O-line that's quote-unquote good when Matt Castle got knocked the hell out of the game like he did. Yeah, I know it's only one play, but the other quarterbacks got slapped around the backfield like they were living in an alternative lifestyle, if you catch my meaning. That's all I'm trying to say.
I mean,
Is it always the offensive lineman's fault? What if Matt Castle's holding on to the ball too long?
No, and I hear where you're going with that, Rizzo, but here's the thing. If it happens as much as it does, they get some of the blame. And you're right. There is something to be said for, I mean, look, it's Castle and Quinn. Of course, they're not the greatest quarterbacks. And heck,
and maybe it's not always the tackle's fault. Maybe the guard's, you know, not doing his job and the guy's coming up the middle.
Did I say it was a tackle? No. I said that unit as a whole. I'm not blaming a particular position on the line. Evans, no. It could be the center who didn't make the right call to pick up the blitz. It could be anywhere.
Exactly.
I'm just telling you what I saw, and it was not solidarity up front.
No, I agree. And offensive line is their biggest need.
So there you go. I mean, that's where I'm at, especially if they have a Smith in the backfield. You know, look, the Jamal Charles piece in the backfield for the running, that's not a problem. I'm not worried about that. They got Donnie Avery. I think that's a strong adjustment. I think he's an underappreciated receiver. Hell, Rizzo and I saw him do some work in person against the Dolphins. And, you know, like, he's not a number one or anything ridiculous like that, but he's a pretty solid role player. Speaking of the Dolphins, they picked up Fasano at tight end. I don't know that that's a big deal. But the thing I like the most are the two pickups they have at their corner spots. Sean Smith, Dante Robinson make that spot probably the best duo in the AFC West. Now, I know it's because Champ Bailey is like 187 years old playing for the Broncos still, but I don't know. For me, that's the best corner core in that division.
And then they also have Eric Berry in safety.
Yeah, good call. So.
Yeah, coming off injury, I mean, obviously we'll see how he adjusts, but I mean, you never know when they're coming off a big ACL injury. But yeah, Eric Berry, top five pick with a Pro Bowler. I mean, he's one of the best safeties in the league when healthy. So yeah, they do have a great secondary.
Yeah. Yeah, and the injury was 2 years ago, but it takes some time to heal from that. I definitely see where you're going there.
But the secondary is not the concern. It's the offensive lineman. Now, they do have a good left tackle in Brandon Albert, who they franchised. But they're also actively shopping him in a trade. So I don't know that they're still willing to, if they don't get a trade done, draft offensive lineman. But either way, it couldn't hurt. I mean, even if they draft a stud left tackle as Eric Fisher or something like that, they can always move Brandon Albert to right tackle to make their offensive line that much better.
Well, hey, this is the team with the top pick in the draft. It's time to ask you the easiest question you're probably going to face all night. Who should go at that top spot?
Eric Fisher, Central Michigan.
Without hesitation. Hey, well, hey, you were talking about stud tackles.
Yeah, he
reminds me a lot of Joe Staley, another Central Michigan left tackle that came out a few years ago.
Former tight end, that's right.
Solid stud. You're never gonna hear his name because he's never gonna be getting any. Like he's not gonna be getting beat. He's gonna be doing his job. He's gonna make a lot of Pro Bowls. He's gonna be steady there for 10 years plus. And they need the help on along the line to protect Alex Smith, because Alex Smith is one of those quarterbacks that he's only doing well when he has time. He's not the kind of guy like RG3 or somebody else who's just going to, who cares how the offensive line's doing. He's just going to create plays and make stuff happen. Now, Alex Smith needs time. He needs to sit in that pocket. He needs to be able to feel comfortable and not feel rushed.
I think that's an excellent analysis. Rankin, what do you got?
Yeah, they Brandon Albert, they did franchise him, but they didn't sign their other offensive tackle, Eric Winston, who they cut. He was the other starting offensive tackle, so maybe they did that too so they can draft the offensive tackle.
He was their right tackle. He was a stud right tackle. He was a big free agent pickup last year. They released him, let him go. So at some point, they're going to need to replace right tackle, which could be Brandon Albert. Brandon Albert's very athletic enough to move over and play that right tackle position. The question is, do you want to sign a big number one overall pick to a big contract to left tackle, and then also have to pay your right tackle left tackle money because you franchise them as a left tackle? I mean, then you're committing almost, pretty close to $20 million just for your two tackles for one season.
To protect Alex Smith. Interesting.
Yeah, so to pick Alex Smith. Now, there's rumors that they're shopping him and they might trade Brandon Albert. They're looking for to get a second or third round pick from another team to get, and then from another team. Like, I know the Dolphins are actively thinking about trading a second round pick for him, and then they've already upgraded their right tackle later in the draft, which is usually where right tackles are taken. You don't take a lot of right tackles in the first round.
Fair enough. All right. I can't disagree with that at all. We're a few minutes past the break here, but you are listening to the Student of the Game podcast here on the Football Reporters Online here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm here, of course, with my co-host Chris Rankin, our special guest, the special agent of sports himself, Chris Rizzo, breaking down some awesome draft knowledge here for the NFL West. About ready to jump in the NFC West, and, I got to say, I'm going to lead off with the 49ers, just to get all the comments about me being a homer out of the way. But I have come to the conclusion that the 49ers are trying to have declared war on Halloween. And let me tell you why I say that, gentlemen. Because why else would they have given away so many packs of Skittles to get players? Seriously. They traded a pack of Skittles to get Anquan Boldin. They traded a six-pack of Skittles to get Nnamdi Asamoah. Or at least that's what it seemed like. It was only a sixth-round pick. But it might as well be a pack of Skittles, because it's just as valuable for what they got him for. I mean, goodness gracious. These pickups alone in the offseason. Look, I know Nnamdi Asamoah did not have the greatest years in Eagle, but I think he makes more sense than the Niners' scheme on defense. And Anquan Boldin, because Anquan Boldin, okay? I'll leave that at that. But I'm looking at the Niners staff. Really, the only thing I can think of that they really need to replace is at the extreme front of their defense with the defensive tackle spot, or the extreme rear of their defense by replacing Deshaun Goldston, or Goldson, rather. It's just really kind of sad that they let him go to Tampa, but I understand why it happened. That doesn't mean I have to like it. I don't know. I mean, is that where you're at, Rankin?
Yeah, I'd say they need another safety coming in. That's probably where they need. They did pick up Glenn Dorsey from the Chiefs, and then defensive line, give a little more beef up front.
Well, yeah, because they needed another D end.
Hey, I mean, he's big enough to move in defensive tackle spots.
Yeah, and that may just happen. Is it, you know, the Niners tend to move Justin Smith in and out of that defensive tackle spot, and they'll either, you know, plug in an Ahmad Brooks or something like that in place. Perhaps Dorsey makes sense to do that instead. You know, he's not had an impressive career.
What kind of scheme do the Niners run?
3-4.
3-4, okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, because linebackers, that's why that Niner offense is amazing. You know, but... on offense, I don't really know what can be done to improve it without potentially breaking the scheme itself, right? They got an O-line, which is just bonkers awesome. You know, their center is getting a little old. That's the only thing I'm really kind of concerned about, okay? They were so deep at fullback that they got rid of Delanie Walker, but they're still going to be just fine. Why? Because Bruce Miller. That's why, okay? Their tight end stretches the field to give that deep threat. And, oh, by the way, Mario Manningham and Quan Bolden.
And Michael Crabtree came on strong last year.
There's that Crabtree guy, too. I was just getting to him. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. But I don't know. Rizzo, I'll tell you. Rankin and I are in agreement with the D-tackle safety thing. I couldn't even put a third position, really, that they could really need to chase for. At the 31st spot in the draft, do you see anybody that they would that would be available at the tackle or safety spot that's worthwhile?
Yeah, there's a couple guys that stand out. I mean, if you're looking for a defensive tackle, and if you're looking for since you got Glenn Dorsey, a guy who's just kind of undersized, you know, D tackle for a 3-4, but he can slide out and play that defensive end position and kind of move around. If you're looking for a really solid, like, big nose tackle kind of guy, a guy like Jonathan Jenkins from Georgia would be a really good fit. Sylvester Williams is a little on the smaller side from North Carolina. He's a little more athletic, but he's not that traditional, like, just stout nose tackle. Now, if you want a free safety, one who can kind of replace, I think, what Goldson was for you guys, and line up with Sante Whitner. He's a little smaller than Goldson, probably a little quicker, though. Better tackler, Matt Elam from Florida.
And to
be a really good value late in that first round.
To be a better tackle than Goldson is, I mean, that's a hell of a smack right there. But the Niners.
I mean, Goldson was a ball hawk. He got a lot of picks. He got a lot of turnovers. But yeah. He wasn't. You know, a guy who's going to go out and get a bunch of tackles for an open field. Not like Matt Elam.
That's true. He was more known for ball hawking and laying wood when necessary than certainly running in and making a particular tackle. That usually kind of oddly fell on Whitner at times. But let me take this. The Niners have 13 picks in this upcoming draft. 6 of them between the 2nd and 5th round. Do they have anybody worth trading up for?
No, I wouldn't say. It depends how high they can get up for. I mean, at safety, if they could get into, like, you know, the mid, like, around that 15, 18 range, I mean, Kenny Vaccaro would be an excellent addition to that team. He is just the number one safety on the board, free safety from Texas, true ball hawk kind of player, just like Goldson was, a little more athletic. And Texas has always been renowned for producing great safeties over the past few years. And you got Earl Thomas from Seattle, Michael Griffin, who plays for Tennessee, I believe, Michael Huff, who played all those years in Oakland. Yeah. I mean, it took a safety factory over there, seriously. The thing is, would they want to seriously salvage, I mean, mortgage, what, 2? I mean, I don't know how many picks they got in the second, but it would take at least 1 second and a third to get up that high from where they're at, maybe even more. Would it be worth it for them?
Well, hey, look, worth is a matter of supply and demand, and the supply is abundant. So maybe it is. It's kind of like what the
Skins
did. It
just depends on how much depth on their roster they still need to fill out, and I don't really know their complete roster at this point.
Well, I can tell you they only have room for 6 rookies on the roster. So.
Yeah, they got 2 in the second. They got 2 in the 3rd round. It looks like the 12th and the 31st and third, and second they have the second overall pick in round, the second round.
Damn.
So, and then also the 29th.
Because trades.
Yeah, I mean, so, the second round will be very valuable to moving up, because it's almost like when you're picking that high in the second round, it's almost like it's pretty close to a first pick. The value you're going to get from like the 25th pick in the first round, like the first 5-10 picks in the second round, especially in a draft like this, it's pretty weak. All those players are going to be pretty much rated the same, so you're not going to lose much. So teams are going to see that as, you know, getting a pretty solid value pick for trading up was.
Definitely an interesting point on the valuation of it. Let's go ahead and move to the Seahawks. And I'll tell you, their losses, I'm not really overwhelmed by who they lost. I mean, what do we got? The only name I really recognized and or cared about was really Leon Washington, I'll be honest. But they got Cliff Averill. They got Michael Bennett, two good defensive ends. They looks like they picked up Antoine Winfield from the Vikings. And then, oh, by the way, Percy Harvin as well. So they're trying to beef that squad up. Personally, I still feel like they need a receiver and they need to expand their running committee, because Marshawn Lynch will not last forever. I mean, so really.
Did you say receiver?
I did.
Don't they have Sidney Rice still?
They do still have Sidney Rice.
They have Sidney Rice. They've got Percy Harvin.
Right.
Do they still have Mike Williams still?
No, he's not a factor. It's more of Golden Tate and
oh, because that's dangerous.
Oh, Brandon Tate, another former first round pick. I would say those two receivers, regardless of who else they have, that's a pretty solid receiver core.
With that tight end spot, maybe then? I don't know. For me, I'd like to see something different at the receiver spot, especially because Harvin is such a risk. Will he play or not? I mean, who knows? I mean, will he have a migraine that week?
Marijuana is legal in Seattle.
Oh,
in Washington.
Take that off the table. My bad.
Was it from Washington?
Well, you know, they legalized weed
marijuana
in Washington State, so that could help Percy Harvin quite a bit. Could have been why the trade happened. Who knows?
Oh, and at tight end, they still have Zach Miller. Pretty solid.
He's all right. I don't know. But for me, I don't know. I'm not – Sidney Rice can't – he's a good number two. I'd like to see them get a number one receiver. And Harvin, he's a utility guy.
I think they're hoping Harvin is a number one receiver. I mean, he had, 1,200 yards last year? I mean, that's the reason why they gave up a first-round pick for him, and that's the reason why they gave him that massive contract.
True enough.
You don't give that to your number two guy.
Okay, what do you think they need?
Well, I mean, regardless, their first pick is at the end of the second round, if I'm not mistaken, right, Rankin?
Towards the end, yeah.
Yeah, it's 20 something.
Need wise, oh god. I love their secondary. I'm probably, in my opinion, one of the best secondaries.
Oh yeah, I got defensive tackle as their need on defense, but it's like third behind the other ones.
Because they gave up their first round pick. They don't have a pick until
Harvin.
The second to get Harvin.
That's right.
And Minnesota has that one. Their first pick is
one of the weaker parts of their defense. My opinion is linebacker.
Okay, I can see that. Well, they got Bobby Wagner last year as a rookie, so, I mean, he did pretty good. I think
who?
He was – Bobby Wagner?
Yeah.
Yeah, but their outside linebackers – I mean, their middle linebacker is fine, but the outside linebackers don't really get a lot of pressure. All the pressure comes from the defensive line. The outside linebackers aren't anything special. They don't make plays. They're this – they just don't screw up enough you don't really notice them because everyone else around them is so good.
Well, or is it a scheme issue where they're having to cover a Vernon Davis, let's say – and let the defensive ends get in an attack?
Yeah, I think because their safeties are so good and their defense line so good, the outside linebackers, I mean, even if the outside linebacker does get beat, I mean, between Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas, probably one of the better safety combos in the league, you don't notice as much because they are athletic enough to make up and cover those tight ends.
And of course, Sherman and Brown are too, as well. I mean, as a foursome, those guys, I think, are the top in the NFL. I mean, look, I'm not necessarily...
I agree.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily a Richard Sherman fan, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I know Richard Sherman's got the biggest mouth in the league, and he'll say they're the best, but they actually might be the biggest best. I mean, it's a pretty legit foursome right there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
and everyone forget Cam Chancellor. He's not a small, strong safety. I mean, the guy's like 6'4", like 230. I mean, the guy is as big as a linebacker. playing strong safety. So I mean, it's one of the reasons why they're able to cover linebackers so well down the field. I mean, no, because tight ends so well down the field. I mean, he's got pretty good size.
Works for me, Chris. What would you say the need for the Seahawks is then?
Maybe an outside linebacker.
Okay.
I kind of like your idea of, you know, running back, because looking at these guys that are in running backs right now, and that's who I think they're going to go after in the second round, is probably running back, or even maybe another backup quarterback just in case Russell Wilson goes down, because you got Brady Quinn as your backup, and you got Josh Portis.
I remember Josh Portis.
Yeah.
So Rizzo, really quick here, is there a running back at that early second round spot who you'd have in mind that might be more valuable than say a linebacker?
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's actually late second round, but the thing is, there's no running backs going in the first round. They're all going to be in the second round. The question is, when does the run of running backs actually begin? There's a guy I really like, a running back who had very productive college career. No one's really talking about him much because they think he might be a little worn down because he had such a great college career. I mean, he put over 8,000 yards on his legs in college. So I think he's a very effective running back. He's not a blazing speed guy, but he's going to pound it. He's a gamer. He's going to grind it out. Now, being in the NFL, being behind Marshawn Lynch, it might be better for him. You know, might not put as much wear and tear. He might last a little bit longer. A guy named Monty Ball from Wisconsin.
Oh, sure.
I like him a lot. I think he would be a great fit for that team.
So that's a name I know.
The thing about him, though, is he's not going to replace what they lost in Leon Washington as a dynamic returning guy.
Right. Well, and that's, I'll tell
that's,
you what.
And that's where they're missing Washington the most. Not because he's a running back, but because he can take it to the house at any given moment.
But they got Percy Harvin to take that void that with Leon Washington.
That's a
right
good call.
There.
But here's the thing, though. You pay a guy that much money a year to be your number one receiver. You're going to be running him out there to like, return kicks, you know.
Hey, Pete Carroll's made worse coaching mistakes.
Yeah, you just see how many times he's taken kickoffs for the Vikings back. So
I mean, the Bears were doing it for a while, of course, but, you know.
that was a project.
Yeah, he was an awful receiver. Yeah. Let's call it what it is.
But no, I've been saying a couple weeks ago, I said Monty Ball was the number one running back on the board.
Yeah, he's a fantastic running back. But like I said, and the only thing that worries me a little bit is, I mean, even towards the end of his senior year, he had some head injuries, concussion issues. He put a lot of wear and tear on those legs. And he's not a big guy. I mean, 5'10", maybe 210, 215. He ran for over 8,000 yards through his 4 years at Wisconsin. So you have to think, you know, running back's one of those positions, average shelf life's 3 to 4 years. And most running backs, they didn't play as much as he did in college and grind it out. I mean, he tons of games where he had 30, 40 plus carries. So you have to think how long will he necessarily last in the NFL. Is he, as a starter, probably not very long. His best bet as a backup, which is probably why he'll slip a little bit in the second round, which he probably will land to the Seahawks late in the second round. And I think he'd be a good complement to Marshawn Lynch.
Not to mention, I mean, you said Wisconsin, right? If I remember correctly, that's a reunited situation with his old quarterback from college, one Russell Wilson. So
yeah, they played 1 year together. Yeah. Russell Wilson was a transfer from NC State.
he gave
baseball a try. Baseball didn't really work out for him. He wanted to go back to football. He wanted to go back to NC State. They said no, so he transferred to Wisconsin since he already had his degree, didn't have to sit out a year, and he played 1 year at Wisconsin and went pro.
Okay, so we got about 10 minutes to do these last two teams here. And, of course, first off here, let's go ahead and go to the Rams. You know, for me, it's not exactly as bad where do you start with these guys, but I'm looking at it. They lost quite a bit. Look, Amendola was their top receiver. Yeah, I know there's talk about his injury situation, but you know what? That is what it is. They lost Steve Smith. They lost Brandon Gibson. That's three receivers they lost. And then also their center was parted to the Titans, as well as, of course, the workhorse himself, Steven Jackson, now a Falcon. I mean, is it right to say that their top need is receiver? Or do they need to get a defensive tackle and fill that void first because this is such a beefy draft?
I've been saying this for years, and they've never done it. They need to give Sam Bradford targets. I think they started off well in free agency by going out and getting, in my opinion, Jared Cook, who is like a glorified receiver at tight end. he won't block the fame of life. I think he's allergic to it. But he is a dynamic receiver and dynamic option for Bradford, you know, finally had a weapon to throw to. Losing Amendola, who was their leading receiver the past couple years, and Brandon Gibson really hurt the actual wide receiver core. So they definitely need to go and get a wide receiver.
Chris, you got
one who's a very good possession receiver,
right,
and also got some decent size who can be a red zone target, you know, make plays down the field.
Rankin, do you got receivers their top need?
Yeah, I got their receiver. Their defense was decent last year. It's just they have no targets for Bradford. But, you know, offensive line was an issue. They did go after Jake Long, got him up. So,
yeah,
I'd say receiver, running back, and more offensive line.
I mean, when you have one of the worst receiving cores in the history of the league, and then you lose your top two receivers in the offseason, I mean, what does that tell you?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you know, I think part of it is, and I'm going to get hell for this, but part of it I think is because Sam Bradford is slightly overrated. I mean, there are some balls that come out and they're overthrown, and I that's directly linked to how Amendola got hurt with his particular case. But, you know,
and he's inconsistent. I mean, he does. Yeah. There's sometimes he throws the ball and it just looks amazing, and he'll have games where he's extremely accurate. Then he'll have games where, like you said, he's just not hitting his target. He's just inconsistent at this point. But he's also, like I said, his playing time hasn't been consistent really either, because he had the whole year where he had to pretty much sit out because he was banged up. Why? Because they never had a good offensive line to protect them.
So would you go with, they have three picks in the first two rounds, would you go two wide receivers out of those three picks?
I would definitely go wide receiver in the first round. I mean, at that point, they're probably going to get the second best receiver on the board, but the most complete possession receiver. I think they could get Keenan Allen. In my opinion, he's the perfect possession receiver for Sam Bradford to be having number one target. He's decent size, 6'3", 210, 220. He's got decent speed, great hands, great route runner. They don't need to draft a project like Cordell Patterson, who's been only a 1 year starter at Tennessee, from a JUCO transfer, who's, from what I hear, not that bright and kind of raw. They don't need that raw project kind of player. They need someone who can come in and produce right away. I think Keenan Allen at that spot would be the perfect player for their team.
Yeah, especially in that division, they need to compete now, because I mean the top of that division is stacked. But speaking,
the only other guy who could be an option would be Tavon Austin from West Virginia, but he's a very gimmicky receiver. He's very small, only going to play the slot. Definitely not his first throw to Keenan Allen, but more dynamic as a playmaker.
Let me go ahead and stop you here.
You might be a person of him.
Let me go stop you here because I need to leave you time to talk about the Cardinals, because I know that is a situation of where do you start. I mean, that's all I can say about that. I mean, you mentioned the word inconsistent. Speaking of inconsistent, the Cardinals. That's why. They lost Kevin Kolb, and then arguably definitely the top two players in their secondary, of course, in William Gay and Adrian Wilson. They still have a solid front, you know, Calais Campbell, Darnell Dockett. I get that. That's fine. But on offense, I mean, good God, man. That was just embarrassing. I mean, yeah, they got Antoine Kayson to replace the losses on defense. Yeah, they got Rashard Mendenhall to get someone else to run the ball. And they got Chilo, former Niner, former Bear, at the guard spot. But, man, I'll tell you, this is a few drips on a fire. It's not going to solve the problem. I mean, do the Cards strive to get O-line first? Or, I mean, are they one of those that's that desperate that they're going to consider a Geno Smith or an E.J. Manuel in the first round? What do you think, Rizzo?
Well, I hope they don't go for quarterback. I mean, they just went and get Carson Palmer, nice little contract. I mean, I know he's not the long-term solution, but he's switched right now. I think at this point, the offensive lineman is their biggest need, and where they really need to go, especially like a solid left tackle who can anchor the offensive line. That's what I would go with if I were them. Which, where they're drafting at right now, it's either going to be Luke Jokiel or Lane Johnson from Oklahoma, one of those two. I mean, honestly, I have Lane Johnson as my number two offensive tackle in the draft, right ahead of Luke Jokiel from Texas A&M. But chances are, Choco's going to go first. A lot of people have him rated higher, and then he'll probably end up getting Lane Johnson. So it's going to be three tackles going in, top seven.
Amen. Chris, you know, I'll ask, or darn it, Rankin, I'll ask you one more time, like I did for the Raiders. Where do you start? What's your top need here?
You have to start with offensive line on this. I mean, you pick up Mendenhall. You still got Larry Fitzgerald and was it Michael Floyd, who they drafted number one overall from Notre Dame last year.
Who did a decent job, I think.
Right. So, I mean, you got the receiver core. You don't draft tight end in the first round. I don't care who you are. So, offensive line, and then maybe, you know, I'd say defensive line too, some beef.
You know, for that tight end statement you made, it's hard for me to accept that when I have my Vernon Davis jersey hanging right here in the closet. But well, technically,
well,
it's
I mean,
closet, but
there are certain tight ends you can draft in the first round. Top seven, bit of a stretch, but when you have as many holes as they do, and they have enough weapons on offense. They need to give Carson Palmer some time, a guy who can anchor the offensive line and maybe give the Mendenhall some holes, and give Carson Palmer some time to get the ball on the receivers. Their offensive line is by far the biggest need.
You know, when Palmer had some support in the running game, he was one game away from making the playoffs in the AFC West. If it wasn't for Tebow mania, he would have. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And the Mendenhall is a very capable running back. I mean, he was from first round pick, former Pro Bowler. I mean, he can get the job done. I mean, definitely upgrade over what they've had in the past with Beanie Wells. And they still, I believe, they still have Ryan Williams from Virginia Tech, who they drafted a couple of years ago.
And he's got
a backup with Mendenhall. Mm-hmm. So I mean, the running core is not bad. They just need, like I said, more solid offensive line, but more consistent, more holes, more protection.
I can't. Yeah. Hey, man. You know,
I mean, there's a reason Kolb and Skelton and whatnot. Every time they're in the game, they were lying on their back. If one was getting hurt and coming out of the game
every game last year, dude, they had losses in the Hall of Fame game. They couldn't make it out of the first effing preseason game without problems. You know what I'm saying?
I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's why, especially with as good as the tackles are in this draft, yeah. where you potentially have three offensive tackles going top 10, even top 7. It's a perfect opportunity for them to get a franchise left tackle to build their offensive line around.
Okay, well, we got a couple minutes to spare here. I'm going to give you 30 seconds, because you're a Dolphins fan, to tell the world who the Dolphins should pick in your mind.
Ooh, I'm a little biased. I'm of the opinion that we need to give more weapons to Tannehill. And I am of the opinion that we've done a good job solidifying the receiver core. Tight end, we did not do a great job. Dustin Kelly, we got a one-year rental contract for $5 million. He's a great receiver, but not a great blocker. I am a huge fan of Tyler Effort from Notre Dame. I think he's probably the second-best blocking tight end in the draft and by far the best receiving tight end in the draft. His catch radius is ridiculous. He's got great speed for a tight end, able to get up the seam and be a deep threat. He, in my opinion, would be the best pick. I would say cornerback is the biggest need. But for a team that runs a zone coverage as opposed to press coverage, there is no zone coverage cornerback worth drafting that high except for D. Milner, who won't be available. And so I wouldn't draft a guy like Xavier Rhodes or any of the other press coverage quarterbacks, because if I wanted to do that, I would have just re-signed Sean Smith, and it would just be unproductive. The reason Sean Smith got burned a lot last year because he was playing out of the wrong coverage scheme for him. So for value wise and for which fits our team needs and everything, I would go Tyler Effort from Notre Dame.
Fair enough. Tying in from Notre Dame. There you go. Special Agents of Sports has spoken. And with that, we're coming up here on the last minute and a half of the show. You have been listening to the Student of the Game here on Football Reporters Online here on Block Talk Radio. And of course, you can hear me on Wednesday nights from 9 to 11 Eastern Time on the Sports Chronicles Radio Network with Drew Glukoff on the OT with Andrew G. And then on Thursday nights, here is always the flagship show, the Football Reporters Online radio show run by the man himself, Dr. Bill Chalkas, who runs an esteemed panel. Of course, I am Kyle Nash, a student of the game. You can tweet at me at the SOTG and check out the website, www.thesotg.com. Had a wonderful time here with, of course, Chris Rankin and Chris Rizzo. Class dismissed.